أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. هل هم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزن علما يا كريم يا رب العالمين. هل هم نسعى لك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء لكل داء، آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Alhamdulillah. We are continuing in our series, are going over the life of the grave and then the day of resurrection. And so we went over last week about who was the first person to be resurrected. We talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talked about the sites on that day of, you know, the mountains being destroyed, the sky being broken open, if you will. The oceans being part of, you know, fire, stars falling down, etc. And so today we're going to go over a little bit more in description of this day, about what's going to be happening with a lot of the arguments and debates between people when judgment does take place, and also just in general what people will blame each other for and so forth. But one thing I want to kind of go over, we talked about how when the disbelievers, when they're resurrected, everyone's coming together, and we kind of popped, I initiated the question about how about people are resurrected in California and those resurrected in China. How do they know where to go, and how will the earth even look at that day? So one thing here, we're going to go over a lot of verses of the Quran today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Surah Qamar, where he says, so leave them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because, you know, they're bothering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, leave them to the day when the caller calls to a painful affair, their eyes humbled, and they will emerge from the graves as if they were locusts spreading. Racing head towards the caller, the disbelievers will say, this is a difficult day. So very lot of indications here in this verse here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the day the caller calls to a painful punishment. Now I was kind of researching the tafsir on this verse here. No one really explains who the caller is, whether it's an angel, whether it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's voice in general, but there's a caller calling them. So imagine this: when you're resurrected, you're hearing like a big loudspeaker or someone saying, you know, come this way, or come to your resurrection, come to your, not resurrection, come to your judgment, if you will. And their eyes are humbled. Humbled mean obviously they're frightened, they're like, you know, and they will emerge from the graves as they were locust spreading. We don't really deal with locusts here, but yes, you know, grasshoppers. And, you know, one thing is, like, I remember one time in Egypt, they have these locust seasons where there's almost like a cloud you see in the sky, and it's all like these grasshoppers are this big, and they just come over the whole city. And if you guys know some of the stories of Musa alayhi salam, one of the signs of that Allah sent on Pharaoh was locusts, were like, you know, grasshoppers took over the whole city. And I've never seen that before in my life. It was, and people, what they do, they burn tires to put smoke in the air, hopefully that these grasshoppers will not come, these locusts will not come because of the black smoke. But I've never seen something like that in my life. But anyhow, so they're spread all over the place. And then Allah says, racing towards the caller. So one of the commentary on this verse here was saying that the people, the disbelievers, are racing towards the voice as if they're compelled. They can't go anywhere else, you know, and they have to be pushed this way. So it's almost like a gravitational force. Obviously, it's not gravity, but I'm using it as a metaphor that kind of pulls people towards that area. Like, they can't go, let me go hide behind this tree or hide somewhere else. When they're resurrected, they have to go towards one area. So that's why we're kind of saying, how about people are resurrected here, resurrected there? They're going to get pulled one way. And there's a caller, there's a voice that's coming out. Of course, this is describing the disbelievers. We'll talk about the Muslim, the believers in later on, but they're coming out and they're all scattered, going all over the place, as they're heading towards this area here. So that's another vision to kind of visualize what's going on. How will they look on that day? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says multiple things about this in the Quran. And one thing I said, the Quran is not short of describing the day of resurrection, the day of judgment at all, as this is one of the main things that kind of wakes people up in life, is about accountability, right? And so there's a lot of verses to go over. So how will the disbelievers look? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you will see the criminals on the day of judgment bound together in shackles, their garments of liquid pitch, pitch is like tar, and their faces covered with fire. Like, subhanAllah, it's, you know, this is not talking about, you know, Jahannam yet, right? But talking about on the day of when they're resurrected, the day of the judgment that was coming up, if you will, you will see these people in this type of state. There's already punishment that's already happening. And one thing we did talk about maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about it will be around 50,000 years before the judgment actually starts. And some say people will be in this type of punishment during that time, right? So people will be going over these type of punishment during that time. They won't just be standing around waiting, if you will. Another very interesting verse, hadith, that's in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ mentions on the day of resurrection, the sun will draw so close to the people that they'll be left only a distance of 1 mile. We talked about this last week a bit. And the narrator says, Sulaym ibn Amr said, by Allah, I don't know whether he meant by a mile. In Arabic, the word is mil. Is it the material used to put, they used to put like this mascara type thing on their eyes. And they used to call that a mil. Or that the, what a mile we know is today, if you will, right? And they had their own definition of that, but it was quite long. He said the sun will be a mile over the people's head, and the people will be submerged in perspiration and sweat according to their deeds, or the bad deeds we're talking about here, right? Some up to their knees, some up to their waist, and some have a bridle of perspiration up to their, maybe Prophet ﷺ pointed up to his mouth. So it goes all the way up to almost like they're going to suffocate each other. And a commentary on this, where I think Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, I think I mentioned this last week also, is that if we were not a new creation, we would have melted. But since Allah made us, that people won't die, is that people are able to not die because of the sun that far away from them, but they will sweat this much. Another hadith of the Prophet, which I didn't put here on the slide, that said people will sweat so much that 70 cubits under them of the ground will be soaked in water. And then the sweat will come up to the people. So you're going to see, like, you know, really, I mean, I think we all know this already, really amazing, like, visuals on that day. That even if you're a believer and you have good faith, what you're seeing around you, it will make you, you know, quite nervous of what's going on, you know. I think no one's going to be laughing, no one's going to be smiling and having a good time at all. It's just, you know, it's a, subhanAllah, it's a sight that's quite, distressful. Disputes. Let's go over some of these disputes. A lot of the books, they go over a lot of these verses in the Quran that Allah SWT talks about the people on that day and how they blame each other, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, inshallah, the believers some type of good news for us, which says close friends that day will be enemies to each other, except al-muttaqeen, except the righteous. So inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah SWT make us part of those righteous. So we're going to see that, you know, there's going to be people, close friends, family members, that will turn on each other. You know, you're the one that told me to go to this party. You're the one that took me away from the masjid. You're the one that led me astray. You're the one that sent me that text message about this video and I opened it up. And people are going to be blaming each other. Just how people do in this world. You know, people love to blame each other in this world. You're the one to do this. You know, you can watch any of these court shows. I mean, I don't really urge you to watch those shows. But anyhow, you know, imagine on the day of judgment, it's going to be even that, you know, 10 times greater, if not more. People will love to point fingers at other people. In Surah Ma'idah, one of the biggest things, that's probably the most profound things that people would point and what people would do, is that we have the followers or people who took Jesus, peace be upon him, as our God. A'udhu Billah, right? And so Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, will make sure that he disowns those people. I have no relationship to them. I never told them to worship me at all, right? And people will come to him thinking that he's going to do something for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in Surah Ma'idah here, which is one of the most profound verses on this whole topic that's in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts a dialogue on that day between Allah and Jesus, peace be upon him. Where Allah, on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O Jesus, the son of Mary. And this is why it's very distinct in the Quran. You always say Ibn Maryam. That's not son of Allah, son of God. It's always son of Maryam, right? O Jesus, son of Maryam. Did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities beside Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows very well what he said. But he wanted to eat Jesus to say it from his own mouth. So all the followers are standing behind him, thinking that they're going to be saved because of him. Let him say it so people can understand. So he's telling them, Jesus, did you say this? Did you tell people to worship you, that take you and your mother as deity is besides Allah? Here, he includes his mother, which is Maryam, because especially in the Catholic religion, part of Christianity, they take Mary like almost holy. You know, she's very high up there, a little different than the Protestants. But anyhow, that's the reason why he singles out the mother here. And Jesus, peace be upon him, will say, exalted to you. Say, Allah, you're the exalted. Like, how can I even, before he even answers, he wants to make sure that he shows the people who is he worshiping. It was not for me to say that which I have no right. Right? If I had said it, you would have known it. He's not trying to rebuke Allah. He's telling that Allah, showing that Allah has authority on that day. You know what is in myself, and I do not know what's in yourself. Like, I have limited knowledge. Indeed, it is you who is the knower of the unseen. I said not to them except what you have commanded me, to worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. That's clearly what's mentioned. Even up in the Bible today, it's quite clear that story is there, but people have interpreted other ways. And I'm a witness. I was a witness over them as long as I was among them. While I was alive, that's what I told them. And that's why I said if you people were to read the Bible even today, the Gospels, there's no way that anywhere that says Jesus said, I'm God. You won't find that at all. It's what came after in the writings of Paul. Some of you might know a little bit of Christianity. I said modern day Christians, I call them Paulians because they really follow Paul more than they follow Jesus. So Jesus, he really came afterwards and wrote all these things about Jesus as the Savior, and he's the one that's going to do this and do that, etc. So he said, as long as I was among them, right, I was responsible over them. But when you took me up, you would have been an observer over them. Basically, they changed the story afterwards. And you over all things are a witness. Allah, you witness what they did after me. I did not say this. They flipped the story, and now they worship me. So he makes it very clear on that day. He denies all his, he's not the unseen. He's not the knower of the unseen, right? He doesn't even know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks, etc. And this is the one thing that all the people on that day will make it very clear. Who he really was. Now, we all know that when he comes back, he's going to break the cross. We talk about this in the signs of the day of judgment. But all the Christians that died before them are not going to witness that, right? So on the day of judgment, all of them will be there, and they'll see the story quite clear of who exactly he was. So Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, sets the record straight there. Other people that worship other things, right? So those who worship other things other than Jesus, peace be upon him, and people worship all certain other people in this world, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in Surah Nahl, which says, and when those who associate others with Allah see their partners, so they'll see that person they worshipped, right? Or who knows, that statue or whatever it is. Our Lord, these are our partners. This is what we used to worship along with you, used to invoke besides you. But they will throw a statement and say, indeed, you are liars. So, but in this world, they told them to worship them, right? But now they'll throw it back to them, indeed, you are liars, right? And they will impart to Allah that day their submission. They said, no, we worship Allah. You guys worship us. You guys are liars. Don't worship us. And loss from them is what they used to invent. So basically, you'll see a lot of people throwing other people under the bus, as they say. You know, like, oh, we used to worship you. You told me to worship you. Like, no, I don't know anything about that. Right? People do a lot of that on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. And that's how it kind of works out, if you will. Disputes between the followers and their leaders. Now, this is talking about leaders, religious leaders, could be political leaders, etc., but it's more talk about leaders of communities and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a depiction of what this will happen on the Day of Judgment, right? And you see today, there's so much congregations out there, especially on, you can watch online, there's this preacher, and he has, you know, millions of followers on YouTube, and this preacher has this many followers, and they'll follow whatever that person says, you know, subhanAllah, you know, and they think that person heals, especially in the Christianity world, this is very, very big, these televangelists and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they will turn to one another and question one another, the leader and the followers will turn to each other. They will say, it was you that we used to come to us from the right hand. Basically, it was you that we used to go for answers, for direction, for guidance, for authority, right? And the presses will say, rather, yourselves were not believers. So the leaders will say, no, you guys weren't believers. So he'll throw it back to them, right? And I had no authority over you, but you were transgressing people. So that leader of that community, that congregation, their people would say, you used to lead us. We used to go for you for answers. We used to come to your lectures, your talks, etc. And then the person will say, I have no authority over you. But he knows what's happening on the day of judgment. So he said, like, you guys came to me. You didn't have to listen to me, but you are transgressing people. So the word of our Lord has come into effect upon us. Indeed, we will taste the punishment. He said, we intend. So they said, both of us are going to be in punishment. We led you astray, for truly we ourselves were astray. SubhanAllah, look at that. So he said, we were astray, and for truly we were our own self astray. So the leader would say, we were astray also. That's why you guys became astray. SubhanAllah. So now they're going to obviously, admit to this, that they were astray. And you see a lot of this stuff. I mean, I don't want to, comment too much on the Christian world, but you see some of these leaders out there, and especially like the televangelists, they go and try to heal people in the crowd, and they do, whether that's true or not, I don't know. And, and then you see a lot of them get go to jail because of their make so much money off these people, embezzling money. They have these big mansions and so forth, and they were maybe misleading the people. Like they're telling us this, whatever the people wanted to listen to. And that's cool.
So, I mean, specifically in this country, we always talk about religious freedom, right? I mean, we also profit from that to some extent,
yeah.
Religious freedom.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in a non-Muslim majority country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can do whatever they want. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's up to the people, like it is written here.
Yeah.
It's up to the people. You cannot really blame them. I mean, they want to make money. So, that's what's his name? What's the one that Tom Cruise is following?
Scientology.
He said it before. He said, if you want to make money, you have to open your religion.
SubhanAllah.
I mean, and it's in this country, it's a free country, with the freedom of religion. So not really, I think what they get in trouble if they, like the sweat lodge people in Arizona, I don't know if you heard about that, people died.
Yeah.
Because of their practices, right? If they do some crazy.
Yeah, the cults
kind of
and stuff. Yeah.
And whatever. People literally die. They told them, don't eat anymore for the next 3 weeks or whatever, until your shaitan go out from you or something. I think when they get in trouble, because obviously that's something against the law, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of cults.
I mean, to open a religion in this country, it's.
Yeah. Brother Johan, those online who may be not hearing, he's saying that it's freedom of religion, so anyone could open up a religion in this country, and you'll get followers. Like, people are just looking for guidance. Some people, the weirdest thing you could do, people would do. You do yoga with your head, standing on your head, people are like, oh my gosh, let me do this also. And they'll pay for your classes, and they'll come to it. They come to your retreat in the forest because they think they're going to be more spiritual. And you could be talking a bunch of nonsense. And people were like, wow, this guy's so inspired,
More nonsense, the more people
believe. the more curious it is. They have this especially here in Orange County, they have this Harvest Festival. I don't know if you guys see the bumper stickers on cars, the Harvest Festival. They have it at the Anaheim baseball stadium, a lot of stuff. Greg Laurie, I think that's his name. I do respect, I don't know him very much. I watched some of his talks. It's a lot of it's like entertaining, just like entertainment, it's a lot of jokes sometimes. And he talks about spiritual stuff. He's really trying to lead the people. I could see that. But it's just like, I don't even, know what his background is, but this, a lot of these people is, they have such, big mega church followers and so forth like this. And, it's just interesting. And that's why I put down here, think about the preachers in different religious misleading congregations and where the critical thinking kind of comes from. And that's why they say, I love the statement on the bottom here. Love it because it's why I love it, because I believe that that's the truth, is that they say we ourselves were astray. The leaders say we were astray. We were way off, right? We knew we were way off, but it was good. It was good while it was lasting, whether financially they're benefited from. And people sometimes dislike the popularity, everyone likes them, whether they're saying right or wrong. Hey, I got a follower, I got following. So that's just something, SubhanAllah, it's a big reality. So really have to kind of watch out for that. Even within our Muslim community, you have to not necessarily go to those who are the funny ones or the celebrity ones, but go to what knowledge is out there and so forth. So, because how the Prophet mentioned that we will follow the Christians handspan by handspan. in their additions to the religion. You know, they built graves and they did this and they did that and they did, you know, they made their churches like decorated them out and so forth. So lots of them, make sure you don't follow them in these type of things. We went over this hadith, you know, in other classes. So it could be very well that our communities could get like how these other communities are, you know, just going to whoever is funny and whoever is this and that and, you know, et cetera. People will try to blame Shaitan. I think that's number one thing that people will love to do. I think that's the easiest way out for anyone, right? Once again, the Shaitan will throw people under the bus once again, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, and Satan will say, when the matter has been concluded, when the judgment has been concluded, that these people are going to go to the hellfire. Indeed, Allah has promised you the promise of truth, and I promise you, but I betrayed you. Allah told you this, do this. You knew about this in the verses of the Quran or whatever. And I betrayed you. He makes it very open. That was my main job. I betrayed you. I told you other things. But I had no authority over you except that I invited you and you responded to me. And that's all the Shaitan could do. Does not have power to pick you up from your seat and take you all over to some other religion and make you worship that things. But just a really bad, you know, advisor in your head. Okay? So do not blame me. SubhanAllah. Don't blame me. I didn't do anything. But blame yourselves. I cannot be a caller to your aid, nor can you come to my aid. On this day, you cannot help me out, and I cannot help you out. Right? Indeed, I deny your association of me with Allah before. Indeed, for the wrongdoers is a painful punishment. The thing about Shaitan, very interesting, is that he never denied Allah's God. He's a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw Allah, or he heard the voice of Allah, we all know. Allah told him to bow down, we all know he didn't. So he knows Allah exists 100%, right? His big beef is what? Is that, you know, human beings, I'm better than them. And I have a jealousy issue. I have an envy issue, right? But in terms of does Allah exist or not, he 100% knows Allah exists. Right? He has a conversation with Allah, right? But his main thing...
He made a deal, right? I gave him and say, okay.
Exactly.
And he asked him, I will make him go astray
exactly.
At the end of the world.
He'll be...
Okay, do it.
Right, right. He's one of the biggest believers in Allah in terms of, what I mean by that, is that he knows that Allah exists. Now, of course, he told people not to believe in Allah, which denies his belief in Allah because he can't be calling to something else and believing one thing. So that's his trouble, is he tells people to worship other things. So that kind of messes up his whole belief there. Right, but you know, like that's one thing. So that's why he says on this day, you know, indeed you guys are wrong. Here's a painful punishment. I deny your association with me, with Allah. Like I have no, I'm not equal with him. Right? He even denies that. Right? You're the one that made me do this, etc. There's people who are Satan worshippers and this type of different things out there. But anyhow, dispute between the weak and their leaders. Right? You know, there's obviously people in nations. They just follow whatever their leaders say, whatever their governments say, or whatever the case may be. Back then, there were smaller tribes, so whatever their tribe leader said, they kind of went with it. You know, that was, they really looked up to them. Today, people don't really follow whatever their president says, and people don't have that trust anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are oppressed will say to those who are arrogant. Arrogant means the leaders of that time. If not for you, we will have believers. We would have been believers. If it wasn't for you and what you did, and I really think this is almost like the case, if you really study, like the, with all due respect, the Chinese people, maybe not even today to extent, but back, you know, 20, 30 years, 40 years ago with the Communist Party, and religion was like very no-no, you know. I was talking to some of my Chinese friends and they're saying like religion wasn't really, you know, you really couldn't have any celebrations and stuff like this. And, you know, you just worship kind of like the party, the ruling party. That was like the best thing, you know, you have celebrations about them. But not turned about religion too much. So they said, it was not for you, we would have been believers. If your policy wasn't like this, maybe we would have found guidance. You know, the arrogant ones, meaning the leaders, will say to those who have been oppressed, meaning their own followers, was it we who kept you back from guidance? Like, you could have learned yourself. You could have researched your own stuff. After it had reached you, nay, rather, you're the ones that transgress. Once again, people are throwing each other under the bus. They're trying to put the blame on one party or the next. But look, it's very interesting here. It says, was it we who kept you back from guidance after it reached you? Meaning it reached the people. You know, that they had it. They had the message, and either their leaders told them, don't listen to it, right? Or it's false. Or the Muslims are terrorists, or the Muslims are this, etc. Right? Those who are oppressed, the followers will say to those who are arrogant, rather, it was your conspiracy of day and night, conspiring, plotting of day and night, that were ordering us to disbelieve in Allah and attribute to Him equals. Right? So that's how, you know, they have this, you know, they're arguing with their leaders about this, and they're the ones, if someone's trying to blame their disbelief on somebody on that day of judgment to try to get some get out of the punishment and be saved, but none of that will work. So here, you know, there could be an argument that, you know, this people, they're disbelievers because of their leaders. You might think that might work. And we might have discussed this maybe a long time ago in one of our classes, is that if somebody who was told that Muslims are terrorists, don't follow this person named Muhammad, peace be upon him, right, et cetera, et cetera, would they have the same judgment of somebody who today could go pick up a Quran and say, I don't want to follow it, right? Because they were brainwashed since they were small up to now. So this is a very big discussion that theologians and Islamic scholars in theology, or aqidah, we could say, debated. Is somebody who was non-Muslim on the day of judgment, can they still go to Jannah, even though they never believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But when they're growing up, all they were told is Muslims are terrorists, don't read the Quran, you know, blah, 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 that's all they did. But one thing you see here is that, even says here in the verse that, you know, guidance reached you, like you had the ability to think. And I put it right here, right? Result of blind following and no critical thinking. So some scholars said that every human being has a process of critical thinking. So that's one thing Allah blessed us with. So you can't deny that unless someone has a mental issue or something, that's another group of people. But so anybody who grew up where someone told them that Jesus is God, Jesus is God, Jesus is God, or the Trinity and the Son of God, they could still sit there and think like, does that even make sense? Or they just go with the flow. So someone could say, well, you know, that person's like, you know, they're oppressed. That's all they were given. They weren't able to go get anything else. Would not be able to talk about Islam to anyone else. Maybe like during the communist times, maybe in China and Russia, people weren't able to get a Quran or anything like this at all. Allahu alam, I don't know, right? Would they be judged differently? So this is a very big topic, and Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has a big discussion on this, where he breaks people up in five groups, that those who heard the message but were told otherwise, and they have no really chance to learn the message, and the message never reached them. So today you could argue that, you know, you can put Islam in Google and read it on your phone anywhere. Most people have internet. I don't want to say most people, but, you know, the Western countries, I guess, right? So you can't see that person say like, you know, you didn't know. How do you not know about Islam? It's almost on TV almost every other day. But maybe back in the day before internet, this was a case for some people. They just never met a Muslim before, and that's all they knew is their village and their town, where they worshiped the statue, or they did this, or whatever, you know. That could be an argument that, you know, they didn't have that same type of ability. Talk people about being privileged and opportunities, right? So maybe they didn't have that privilege or something like that. So he talks about some people, some of these groups will have the mercy of Allah. They say you're going to Jannah, that they will be open to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's another topic. Did you want
to? No, that's exactly, you came to that towards the end. What I was trying to say is, I mean, there is groups that, mm-hmm. and you can go in as recent as communist China. I mean, if you grew up in a village there, you would have had not even opportunity to hear about anything else. I mean, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had no communication with the outside world. Right. So they would die, they would live, they would be born, live and die without any knowledge that Islam even exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those people, I mean, you cannot, I mean, where's the blame, you know?
Right. So here, that's a special so there's one difference than somebody who gets the message, they learn about Islam and like, I'm good. But a person who never get the message, I'm not saying that they saw Islam on CNN one time. That's not really like learning about the religion.
No, but I mean, even before then.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, even like you're saying, there's some groups, even before that, before 9/11, you know, people had never actually heard the word Islam ever, you know. But some people could argue that if they never heard about Islam, maybe they don't know about Ramadan and Zakat and Hajj, but could they say, you know what, there has to be a creator. You know what I mean? I have to come from somewhere. You could argue that everyone should be able to think about that, whether you're living in Antarctica or the North Pole or in Los Angeles. Someone who's been told that Jesus is your God, or this statue, or that star over there is your God, that one day they should think, like, you know, does that make any sense? Like, I don't know. Like, forget about knowing about Islam. But they say, no, there has to be a creator. I don't know what that creator's name is, right? I could call the word creator, but that star can't be my God, right? This statue can't be my God. Jesus can't, that makes no sense that he's a son of God and Trinity. So forget about knowing to pray five times a day and what is wudu and what is hajj. That's all, yeah, that's, and we could put that to the side. But at least to know tawheed, like there's one creator. Some argue that at least everyone should be able to do that, because they're saying that everyone, as the Prophet said in another hadith, that everyone's born on the fitrah. Everyone's fitrah meaning that knowing that Allah is their God. And then the Prophet said, you know, their parents change them into a Christian or a Jew or a Majusi or a, you know, Zoroastrian, etc. So everyone has that ability inside of them. Whether they care to acknowledge it or look for it is more the case. You know, it's kind of like almost like here in America. And I ask somebody, you know, who created you? They're like, I want to watch a movie. I don't care. I want to watch sports. I don't have time to look over that question. People don't really even care to research these types of things.
So the argument would be, we talked a few weeks ago about the creations of the soul. Mm-hmm. So would that be the argument that you say, because yeah, your soul has been created by Allah.
Yes.
All the souls together, it was put in you.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it was in the Middle Ages where mm-hmm. Islam would have never reached any yeah. villages in northern Scandinavia or mm-hmm. in inner yeah. Mongolia or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, so could you, is that the argument that since the soul was created by Allah and put into your body, the body also was given to you by Allah. So yeah. That's why you should be able to believe.
Yes, that has inherited that belief. We understand that it's in that person. They have to dig and find it. Mm-hmm. And also, that the Prophet, also from the other hadith, he mentioned that everyone's born on this, that knowing that Allah is one, then their parents. Because any child, if you leave them alone and don't teach them anything, right? Maybe there's experiments done like this already. Would they say, no, I think Jesus is my God? Like, would they ever, that would be almost being like, you know, irrational for them to say something like that, you know? They never taught that. You have to be taught that. But they might say, like, you know, something made me. I would assume that would be the case. I'm assuming there's probably, you know, experiments done like this already. But, you know, what would they say? Like, I came out of nowhere. And I don't think anybody would say anything like that, you know? In a small child, you put a ball there and you take it away. Where did the ball go? Someone had to move it. Someone had to put it there. Just like yourselves. It's just natural to think that I had to come from somewhere. Yeah, I have a mom and my dad, but you know, someone had to, you know, you have to go back and someone had to place me here. Now, if that child does not know the name of God, well, we don't really care too much about that. But everyone has that fitrah in them. The same thing like good, you know, and then bad. It's inherently known to us. When you see someone get shot or get killed, no one celebrates that. Right? Everyone's like, oh, that's terrible, you know, or someone punches somebody else and you run and go help them. Where does that come from? Right? Religion could teach you that. But also this part of the fitrah that we kind of know that, you know, that's something that's bad. You know, Allah has put that instinctively in us, you know, to be cleanly and so forth like this. So a little bit of a tangent, but here that, yeah, that would be the argument, Brother Johan, that yeah, that is there. It's inside of them. Do people care and do any critical thinking and think that, where did I come from? Or do I just want to watch sports and, you know, have, you know, eat and go to buffets and go to vacation my whole life? A lot of people pick that route and they don't really care too much about this, you know, about thinking about critical thinking, where they came from. And I think that's more the issue. You have to wake people up, I guess. Dispute between the believers and their devil companions. So one thing that we believe in Islam is that everyone went over this before in other classes, that when you're born, you're born also with a jinn that kind of follows you everywhere you go. Okay. The Prophet mentioned this also, that everyone has a devil companion, or we call this in Surah Qaf, it's called a Qareen. Muqarana. Qarana means like to be kind of connected to you, if you will, or to compare with you. And so this jinn basically follows everywhere you go and kind of tells you about, you know, do this and do that. It's kind of like that bad voice in your head that tells you to do wrong, etc. Okay. So people would try to use that as an excuse on the Day of Judgment. That I want to do good, but this jinn that's following me all the time and telling me to do bad, that he is the one that should be blamed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the devil companion, the Qareen, will say, our Lord, I did not make him transgress, or I didn't make her transgress. But he or her herself was in extreme error. They're the ones that are in error. Don't blame me. Allah will say, do not dispute before me. Like, don't argue, have some more respect. Right? Don't dispute it for me. While I had already presented you the warning, you guys all, both of you guys knew. The jinn, remember the jinn has judgment upon them also, right? So they're not like free to go. They have critical thinking. They're responsible also for their own deeds and actions. The word will not be changed with me, and never will I be unjust to the servants. So Allah said, I'm going to judge you the way you did and the way you did. It doesn't matter what you told each one of them. Both of them are going to have that punishment. So even though we have this jinn that's kind of followed us around, you know, we have angels that follow us around also. But is this, you know, even though we have that voice in our head, doesn't mean we have to listen to it, obviously. And so on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, you can't use that as an excuse that this jinn is the one that was telling me to do wrong, etc., right? So people will try to do that on the Day of Judgment. This is even the scariest one, right? It makes sense. Today is a scary day, right? Yes, anyhow. Or scary night, whatever. Dispute with one's own limbs. SubhanAllah, multiple places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people's own limbs. Look at your hands right now, even though like you love your hands or you love your feet, you love your, you know, your own mouth, you know, because you use them, mashallah, you appreciate them. I mean by love, right? Everyone loves their own body, right? They will be testifying against people on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Surah Fusilat, chapter number 41 of the Quran. On that day that the enemies of Allah will be gathered together to the fire. People are going to Jahannam. This is the enemies of Allah, so, right? So they're the ones who are the wrongdoers. They'll march in ranks until they, when they reach it, their hearing, their eyes, their skin will testify against them for what they used to do. And they will say to their own skins, so people will say their own skins, right? Why have you testified against me? Like, we're supposed to be one team, right? Why are you ratting me out, right? Why are you telling all the things I did, right? We're going to the same place. And they will say, the skin, the mouth, the feet, the leg, the limbs, we were made to speak by Allah, who has made everything speak. He has created you the first time, and to him is our return. So it's mentioned in the commentary of this, that this will happen to the disbelievers that deny they did wrong. So like, no, I never killed that person. I didn't steal from this person, right? I'm not the one that hit that person, etc. I didn't say this about this person. The angel will bring the record of the deeds and say, look, it's right here. You did this on April, blah, 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 1957. They're like, no, that wasn't me. So, and they will deny so many certain things. Imagine how much arguments will be on the Day of Judgment. Even in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people won't have any respect and they'll still deny these things. Even though the angel brings the record, right? And so Allah will say, okay, we'll tie up your mouth now. Let's ask your hand. Did you the one that hit this person? And the hand will say, yes, you used me to hit this person back in April, blah, blah, blah. Right? So this will happen to the people who deny their sins, or at least argue against them. Not argue with others, but stuff they own did themselves. So there's no hiding on that day. You have, you know, everyone has, it's going to be all right, all justice will be done, even if their own body parts will testify against them. Nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. Like I said, there's a lot of information in the Quran about the Day of Judgment, because it is the main thing that in our lives that keeps us honest, if you will. If there was nothing, if there's no responsibility or accountability in this world, people wouldn't care to go under the speed limit. People wouldn't care not to steal, right? So one thing about us on the Day of Judgment is this: what kind of keeps us honest, that we know that there's a final judgment, even though you can get away with things in this world, right? Talk about nations. Allah will say, enter among nations. So this whole nation of people, right? Villages and civilizations will be going to Jahannam. Enter among nations which have passed on before you of jinn and mankind into fire. So one nation, Allah will say to a nation, go into the fire with other nations that have gone before you. Every time a nation enters, it will curse its sister nation, right? The previous nation before them. When they have all overtaken one another therein, the last one will say about the first one, our Lord, these have misled us. So give them a double punishment. Even though that's their own same country, or their own same people, own same ethnicity. But they'll say, no, they're the ones that misled us and ruined all the generations below. So give them a double punishment. He will say, for each the double, but you do not know. So Allah said, don't worry, they'll get their point. Allah is just on that day. And I always think about this, like I said, I don't want to go back to Christianity a lot, but one thing I brought up before is the different ways of how the word of Jesus, peace be upon him, got changed over time. And the Council of Nicaea is a thing I would kind of bring up to you guys before, where that was a council, and then was it 313 or 215? I forgot exactly. There was a couple of councils of Nicaea. Nicaea was a place where they held this council, and the Roman Empire decided that Jesus is going to be a Trinity. Like, this is the concept of Trinity. That was where it was decided. And they also decided which gospels go in the Bible and which ones don't. So whatever they want to agree. And from there on, guess what? That was the norm. And if you went against that, even Christians who didn't think that Jesus was God or Trinity or Son of God, they were persecuted. You know, they had to leave. But that was that was a decision from the Roman Empire after that, that this would be the belief. And if you go against it, then, you know, you'll get killed or you do other things. And now we have it up to today. That's the same thing that's kind of going on today. How many generations were affected by that one ruling? You know what I mean? And we could go other examples out there, right? But just to think about it, I always think about it, subhanAllah, how evil that day was. I mean, people were misled and keep on being misled. We could say, once again, they have critical thinking and they should change, but anyhow, right? The state, and I would go into a little different thing. Now, let's talk about all about the disbelievers on the day of resurrection. And what I went over earlier, all the conversation and those debates between people, that could be after judgment or that could be before. Right, it depends on how we take the context of it. We haven't covered the how deeds are going to be judged yet, so we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. We'll come back to it. Now we're going to go over the state of the believers who were sinners. I mean, these are Muslims. Alhamdulillah, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did sins. They very, very big sins, if you will. So there's going to be a special judgment with them on the day of judgment. And so this is a very key point for all of us here, alhamdulillah, inshallah ta'ala, we're true believers in Allah. The Prophet ﷺ talks about those who did not pay their zakat. Okay, people complain it was too hard to calculate. I didn't know what I need to pay on. I just didn't do it right. So here Allah talks about those. So Allah, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ talks about, this is a hadith. Sorry, this is not a verse in the Quran. This is a hadith. Where the Prophet says, anyone whom Allah has given wealth but does not pay it in its zakat on it, then on the day of resurrection, not Jahannam, not anywhere else, on the resurrection, when people are resurrected, his wealth will be presented to him in the shape of a black-headed poisonous male snake with poisonous glands in its mouth. It would encircle itself around the neck and bite the cheeks of that person. That's a pretty graphic display of what's happening to a person here. And that snake will say, I am your wealth. Remember, things are going to talk on the day of judgment that usually don't talk. That's one thing that's going to kind of give us, you know, frighten us a bit. I'm your treasure. I'm your wealth. I'm your property. Then the Prophet recited the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, and let not those who conventionally withhold that which Allah has bestowed upon them of his bounty. Those Allah has blessed with wealth, don't let them withhold it, not give it out in charity. This talks about those people, once again, the whole back their zakat. So obviously, like we always mentioned, I mentioned this before, that we all should know how to calculate our zakat. We do our income taxes, we make sure we pay people to do it properly so we don't go get audited, right? We pay $200 or $300, if not more, or some people try to, you know, do it yourself on the computer, etc. Right, but we go down and make sure every single line is filled out properly, right? My property, my income I made from my work, etc. You know, you try to put all your all the things that you could, you know, get back money for. You make it very, very scrupulous. But in terms of zakat, maybe we don't do that. And we're actually talking about with some of the imams, we should have people that actually do zakat for people. Like, just go through people's numbers with them, just how we do income tax. Whether they do it, you know, pro bono or they get paid, so people do it properly, you know, and so they actually know how much they're supposed to give. So it's something we take, you know, we don't take lightly. Because like I said right here, I put on the bottom, it is a right of the needy over the privileged, or the one who's rich and those who are wealthy, that when you don't pay your zakat, it's as if you're stealing money from those who are needy. Right? Something to think about. This is the last hadith that we're going to go for today, covering. The state of the believer, those who are arrogant, actually covers a lot of different people here, right? So those who are arrogant, they're Muslims, mashallah, they prayed, etc., but they had kibr, they had arrogance inside of them. So the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three persons whom Allah will neither speak on in the day of resurrection. Allah will not even talk to that people, nor will even look at them, nor will look at them, will be, and they will not be absorbed from the punishment, the chastisement for them. Like, the punishment will come to them. This is very descriptive, very strong wording. The Prophet ﷺ said and repeated it three times. Abu Dawud remarked, they failed and they are lost. These people are failed and they are lost. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is those who drag their lower garments, the ones who remind others of their favors, and the seller of good by false oaths. So what does this mean? Number one, there's a concept called isbal. Isbal is when your pants or your garment is below your ankles. What does it mean by this? It means like, you know, back in the day, if you ever looked at old school movies and different things, like, you know, those kings that have like robes that drag on the ground and they walk into their whatever, their entourage, and they walk into their palaces and they think they're better than everyone else because they have this really long garb that's dragging. No one does that today. But back in those days, that's how you would try to show that you're better than others, right? And even in regular people in the city, will wear like, whether thobes like this or different things, and they'll have it dragging on the ground, and it kind of shows that, you know, you are wealthy and you're better than other people. No one really does that here today, you know? And some people take it that, you know, if I wear my pants below my ankles, I'm gonna get punished for it. And that's why you might see people in our community, they roll their pants above their ankles. I might even do it sometimes because I did all my childhood, not knowing why I did it, because everyone else around me did it, especially in the Indo-Pak community. And there's hadith very strong on this that talks about those garments below the ankles will be in hellfire. So like people are like, oh man, you know. But you have to also understand the context of this. So there's another hadith where Abu Bakr told the Prophet, well, you know, my thobe is below my ankles. Am I being punished for this? Am I, you know, doing something wrong? And the Prophet said, no, you're not doing it out of arrogance. That's not your reason why you're doing it either, because his clothes was just big, or maybe that's the way that he bought it. It wasn't because he was trying to show off, right? So that is what we're kind of talking about here. So here, no one really does it with their garments, but if somebody would do it with something else, something we should be careful about. Only thing I want to remind you, only thing I see a symbolism of today's world is, you know, when like a bride gets married, she has this like big tail on her wedding dress, right? That's the only thing I think that's where you kind of see it in our society. And I don't think the brides are doing it out of arrogance. They're just doing it because that's how they make these dresses, you know what I mean? Maybe it's better to stay away from it. Also, it gets really dirty also. You have all these people holding the dress up in the back. So I don't know what the purpose of it is, but anyhow. So basically anything that's arrogant that someone would do, that's where the dragger of lower garments is. The second one, the one who reminds others of their favors. And this is like the people obviously doing things for the wrong reasons. You know, they donate money to you, or they buy you a gift on your whatever, your wedding anniversary or for Eid or whatever. And then they remind you, like, you know, I did this for you. Like, why don't you help me now in this time? You know, or you know what? I always give you this. You know what I mean? I'm your good friend. Like, you don't need to remind me of that, because you're denying the reason why you kind of give it. Now you're showing what your true intentions are. So those that remind others of their favors, very strong wording. Allah will not even look at that people. You know, give them no attention on that day. And then the last one, the seller of goods by false oaths. Now, I don't know if, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, in some maybe more like third world countries, but even here, if you go to like swap meets and other things, people will like swear, like, this is the best price for my item. No one sells it cheaper than I do. It has to be someone in the world that's probably selling it cheaper than you, right? You know, and so, and also, unfortunately, it's happened sometimes in the Muslim world that people will swear by Allah. They'll say, wallahi, this is $40. I've seen this before, and those might know different countries like this. And I'm like, oh, I don't want it too expensive. And you walk away, then okay, 30. You just told me, wallahi, I swear by Allah, it's $40. How did it get down to $30 after, within 5 seconds, you know? So maybe it wasn't $40 then, right? But you'll see in some civilizations, they say, like, they swear by Allah almost for everything. And I've been in certain countries, they'll do it every, like, the word wallahi will come out. It's a very custom customary for everything. The taxi driver will tell you this is how much we'll lie. It's $20 to get you from over here. And they're like, no, it's okay. And this is $10. Wallahi, $10. Well, how does it change? You know what I mean? And so, and then people will do that for selling their goods also. So you don't see it too much today. Alhamdulillah, we have things called prices on items. But in some countries, there's no prices on items. You just have to know what it is. And it gets, unfortunately, there's a lot of wrong that's done, a lot of cheating that's done in marketplaces. So this is the last hadith I wanted to go over. There's other things, other things that are mentioned about other believers on the Day of Judgment, what punishment they will get. And this here, I just want to make a note here about the three that people whom Allah will not talk on the Day of Judgment. There's multiple hadith like with the same phrasing, and sometimes it's worded differently. And another one talks about an elder man that commits adultery. That's the one, one of the people that Allah will not talk to on the Day of Judgment. Someone who's at that age, there's no reason for them to do something like that. And so Allah, that's something even more despicable to look at, right? And that's also mentioned here. And there's some other things that are mentioned in there that I'll probably mention next week. So we'll go over this next week. So I'll add a couple more. And then we'll go over the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's also the next topic that we're going to be going over. And also the weighing of the deeds that inshallah we'll cover next week. I hope we'll cover those three things. So any questions or comments or from anyone online or anybody in the crowd here tonight for what we went over about the deeds, the arguments, and doesn't mean like, the believers will not argue also, right? That'll be something that the believers will also argue about on the Day of Judgment, about their deeds and so forth. But today we really more cover the disbelievers. So questions from anyone? I think that's probably just the beginning. Welcoming everybody. Oh, Brother Amir, sorry. Even in our society here in the U.S. where people will swear by God very casually. Yeah, I guess, that's true. Maybe that does happen as much. You hear that a lot. Some people say, I swear I didn't do this. You know, it's usually when they take out the word God a lot. But like, I swear I left that door closed, right? I don't know who opened it. I swear I took off the lights downstairs before I came up. I'm not too sure who did it, right? And it could be that that's what they remember. And maybe they're wrong. Everyone kind of have bad memories, right? But we're more talking about when people sell things. Right? So that's what the hadith is about. I think the worst thing is when you go, that's why the Prophet said the worst places on earth are markets. There's a lot of cheating and lying that goes on. Like I always kind of make an analogy of used cars, when you go buy a car, even a new car, people will swear like, no, it's working, it's fine, it's et cetera. There's no problems ever with the car. And then, we all know those here, the really bad stories. You take it home, you drive it 2 or 3 days and something happens to the transmission and you go $3,000 and you have to spend for that and so forth. But people will swear that everything's fine and so forth. I don't know if they put the word God. I don't think used car salesmen will probably say the word God, but maybe if it's a religious guy that you come upon. But people definitely do swear, though. But it's the word let me take that back to what Brother Amir is saying, because the Prophet says by false oaths. So it doesn't have to be the word God. It's any oath. I swear to you this is the best product, or I swear to you this won't break, right? So they're not going to necessarily say the word Allah or God. But that does happen a lot. All righty. Anything else? We're good? I think that's the last slide I have. Just to make sure. Yeah, it is the last slide. All right, inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue inshallah next Sunday. We'll continue on this topic. At the end, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Anta salam wa minka salam. Barakta ya dhul jalali ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to send peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you for your protection on the day of resurrection, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to give us your shade on that shade where there will be no shade other than yours, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us for our wrongdoings. Enter us in your Jannah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Subhanahu rabbika, rabbi izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless all of you. We'll see you next Sunday. I think Dr. Siddiqui does have his class today, right? Yeah. Yeah, so inshallah you guys can stay along for that, all right?
One more tip.
Someone said, why Yakum, welcome Stan, brother Amir. Mm-hmm. Yeah.